GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, Alan Brogan has been helping to launch the second Family Sport Fest. Family Sport Fest providing an opportunity for both adults and children to experience the world-class facilities at the Sport Ireland National Sports Campus and sample up to 30 different sports that'll be showcased throughout the day. So some well-known faces from Irish sport will be there, and all the details are up on nationalsportscampus.ie/Family Sport Fest. Alan Brogan, good evening to you.
Good evening. How are you, Adrian?
Very good. Thanks a million for taking the call. What's this all about?
Yeah, look, I think it's a great opportunity for families to get their kids up to the National Sports Campus and see what it's all about. I was there myself last year at the first open day, and they have another one coming up this year. And look, it's an opportunity to try sports like gymnastics. They have a world-class gymnastics facility up there, sports like fencing, stuff like that that you wouldn't normally see on your normal day-to-day. So look, it's a great family day out, and one I'd recommend to everybody.
I'd say a lot of people pay good money to see Alan Brogan take on a bit of gymnastics.
Yeah, maybe back in my day. It wasn't great now last year, to be honest with you, but we might have another go this year.
Right, we'll give out the website again before we wrap up, but we want to get straight into it. Obviously, the main talking point of the week, Croker on Sunday. What's the case, Alan, for a Tyrone win here? Because there's not a lot of people making it.
Yeah, look, I suppose looking in from the outside, it's difficult to see past Dublin, if I'm being honest. But in saying that, like, Tyrone are the one team, they've been coming for a couple of years. I thought they'd be here before now. Gihard, in fairness to him, has finally got them back to an All-Ireland final. And they have some lovely footballers, there's no doubt about it. And I think their performance last year in the All-Ireland semi-final would have stung the whole county. And they're obviously a better football team than what we showed last year. But I think Mickey has kind of looked at how he set them up last year, and I think he decided now that's maybe not the way to beat Dublin. And he looks to be a lot more offensive this year. They still have a solid defensive structure, but they're scoring a lot more. I think they've got 16 goals in the championship this year so far. So that's pretty good score. And I think if they are to compete with Dublin, they need to go after the game a little bit. Look, you can't go gung ho against Dublin, because if you leave gaps at the back, they will exploit them. But you need to keep some sort of shape up front and be able to kick the ball when you want to. And if they don't have, I think they marked Bradley up front on his own last year, and he was just fighting a losing battle up there. So to get a bit of support up there, keep 3 or 4 forwards up and try and isolate a couple of the Dublin backs, make them a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe we give them a chance. I suppose they probably have to go after Stephen Cluxton's kick out as well a little bit. I think we saw in the last 10 minutes up in Omagh, when probably the game was dead and buried earlier on the Super 8, I think Dublin were 6 up, and Tyrone got it back to 2 and missed a free to get it back to 1. So look, Dublin are vulnerable at stages, there's no doubt about it, and it's an All-Ireland final, and Tyrone are the one county, probably along with Kerry, that have this sense of self-belief that they always have a chance. And look, it's by no means a given on Sunday that Dublin are going to be All-Ireland champions. We wouldn't fall into that trap for a second.
Yeah, I know you're not going to say it. I know a lot of people might think it, but just to break down some of the areas, a lot of interesting stuff in what you've said there in terms of Tyrone's capacity to go after the game, as you've put it. So if we're to sort of just take out that idea of isolating the Dublin backs, Alan, what do you, just expand out on that point a small bit for us, will you? Just tell us what you're thinking about in terms of that.
Yeah, look, I suppose, like, if you leave Dublin with numbers back there, they're very comfortable playing like that. Like, the way Dublin play, Keno Sullivan will try to drop off as much as he can and give his full back line cover. So if you try to keep a man up on Keno Sullivan, keep forwards up, that you keep the likes of Keane occupied. Brian Fenton will probably drop back down, but you just, like, you need to questions off them. You need to try to get one-on-one, and with the forwards thrown, have Conor McAleski, even the guys coming off the bench, Niall Sutton, guys coming off the bench, Ronan O'Neill, like, these are really top class footballers, and they're probably suited to Croke Park more than anywhere else. They'll enjoy the wide open nature of Croke Park, and I think if they can get one on one with Dublin defenders. Now, not many teams have managed to do that, so it's not an easy thing to do, because Dublin are so smart at covering back into to cover off those gaps. But if you get men forward and force the Dublin backs to mark, then you have an opportunity to do that. And I think any team we've seen get joy off Dublin over the last couple of years, that's been when they've got it, when they have managed to push up and put the Dublin backs under that bit of pressure.
Yeah, Galway got a little bit of joy out of it. Like, it seemed almost as if that sort of direct running style paid dividends, certainly at times for them.
Yeah, but I think you need to mix it up as well. Like, we saw a couple of high balls in over the course of the summer have caused Dublin trouble. Damien Comer's goal the last day. And I I think Donny Kingston in the Leinster Championship in the Laois game caused a Dublin full back line a lot of trouble as well. So look, we could be clutching at straws a little bit, but maybe Dublin are susceptible a little bit to a big man in there to and a long diagonal ball. Richie Donnelly's in there, he's a rangy enough forward, he'd be a good ball winner, so maybe it's an opportunity to put a couple of balls in the top of him. And then, like, we know Tyrone have the runners with the likes of Tiernan McCann, Peter Hart, Matty Donnelly, these guys coming on the burst late. So I think it's about Tyrone trying to mix it up and play a brand of football that kind of keeps Dublin guessing and will take them out of their comfort zone a little bit. But look, it's easy to talk about it here, Adrian. It's a different story when you go out onto Croke Park and you're playing against a team that won three All-Irelands in a row. So, but look, I think from my own point of view, obviously hoping for a Dublin win, but I think for football's sake, we need to see a good, close, competitive match. Like if we're expecting a tit for tat up and down the field, I don't think that's going to happen because it's an All Ireland final. It's going to be cagey. There's going to be a lot of men behind the ball at certain stages. It's going to be a lot of possession football, like we've seen Tyrone and Dublin play this year, kind of looking for holes in the blanket defences. But I'd hopefully we see a bit more kick passing than we have seen over the course of the last few games, and because I think kick passing is the way forward for both teams. If they can move the ball quickly before opposition men get back, then that gives the inside forwards a chance to maybe get one-on-one with their men and create a few goal scoring opportunities.
Yeah, and like the other sort of key element that you pulled out going after Cluxton's kickouts on this one, we'd Stephen Poacher, the Carlow coach, on OTBM a few weeks back, and he was talking about he was seeing a bit more of a fluid style from Tyrone this year, like you'd mentioned, obviously, about the semi-final last year. And I think the large school of thought after that was that maybe Tyrone didn't have what it took maybe to make the next step. They've obviously proven that to be the case. He was saying they're a bit more fluid possibly this year. Like, does that idea of going after Cluxton's kick out, Alan, and the idea of sort of isolating Dublin's backs and keeping them occupied, I suppose, like, there's almost a bravery involved in that, right? Like, when you're playing a team like Dublin, sort of keeping those players forward.
Yeah, there is. And look, you don't have to do it every time. Like, sometimes Stephen gets his kick outs out so quickly that it's just not possible to pick up every Dublin man. And it's like, Stephen's going to get short kick outs off, and he's so good, he can put it anywhere. But I think they need to try on maybe every second kick out, every third kick out, they need to try and push up and try put pressure on the Dublin midfield and try and pen Dublin in a little bit. Like, again, it's easier said than done, because Stephen's capable of, if you try pen him in, he's well capable of knocking it 60, 70 yards over your head onto a half forward coming, or even a full forward coming out to win the kick out. But look, Tyrone will have looked at that like in depth. I'm sure they've watched lots of Stephen's kick outs, as lots of teams have and have tried. But where we've seen maybe Dublin come under a little bit of pressure is when Stephen has started, or when opposition teams have started to win possession off Stephen's kick outs. I think that's one area probably that if Tyrone want to win the game, they're going to have to try and go after.
Can we wind the clock back slightly, Alan? Owen Mulligan was he did some interviews this week, and he was talking about getting at old Dublin teams because, as he put it, he thought they were mentally weak. He actually said at one point that they went out to target you specifically. Is he right, I suppose, first off, about that fragility of Dublin football pre Pat Gilroy's arrival, really?
Look, I don't know. Look, if you look at a Tyrone team back then, like in 2005, we were 4 or 5 up at half time. Like, Owen himself got a goal, one of the best goals we've seen in a long number of years after. So it went to a replay. We were well beaten in the replay. And I think, like, if you look at the players, they probably had a better side than us, in fairness. Like, they'd like to Brian Dewar, Stephen O'Neill, Brian McGuigan, these guys. Like, they were household names at that stage. We were kind of a team trying to make the breakthrough. So, like, a little bit similar to this Tyrone team playing against Dublin this weekend, this Tyrone team is trying to make the breakthrough. And, like, whilst a lot of them maybe aren't household names, like, they're only one All-Ireland away from that, and, like, you're 70 minutes away from that. So I think, look, maybe we had leads in various matches. Like, you look at Mayo in 06 as well, when we were 7 points up, we were 5 up against Tyrone at half-time. Maybe their leads we should have been holding on to a little better. Maybe we were, I wouldn't say fragile, but maybe a little bit naive defensively, and that's maybe what's cut us out. Like, if you look at Mulligan's goal in 05, I couldn't see this Dublin team conceding a goal like that where a full forward wins the ball 45 yards out and goes on a solo run and puts one in the top corner. I think this Dublin team is just too experienced and too well set up for that to happen. And probably similar with Tyrone, it's unlikely a Dublin forward would do that against this Tyrone defence. So I think football has changed a little bit, and I think I don't recall. Conor Gormley picked me up in most of those games. Conor was a very aggressive defender, very good defender, but he wasn't a particularly nasty defender. He never melted at me. He was just
did he not? No.
No, he was just a very good defender who read his angles very well. He was very quick off the mark, and like, in fairness to him, he shut me down in a couple of games in the second half in 05. I'd played well in the first half on Gavin Devlin, I think, as part of the management team now. He went off at half time, and they switched Conor Gormley onto me, and I was quiet enough in the second half. And then after that, and most times we played Tyrone, Conor Gormley tended to pick me up, and in the next couple of games he probably got the better of the exchange. But I think in 2010, and they beat him in the quarter 11, I probably did quite well on him. So he was probably always one, because he'd shut me down a couple of big games, he was always one that I wanted to kind of play well on as he came to 2010 and 2011. But I've no regrets about those games. That Tyrone team was a magnificent football team, and they went on to win 3 All-Ireland. So I look back on those matches very fondly, to be honest, which we came out on the wrong side. It's all part of your career. And I suppose I was lucky enough. If I hadn't won All-Ireland in the end, maybe I'd look upon it differently. But I suppose that was kind of all part of the learning curve for maybe the 7 or 8 of us that were still there in 2011 when we managed to get across the line.
Did Gormley leave the mouth into Ricey? Was that it?
Ricey never said much to be either, to be fair to him. I often wonder why they tended to leave me alone. I used to get a few clatters, all right, but in terms of the mouth, I never received much of it. But I think that might have been a bit overstated at times, to be honest with you. Like you talk about Ricey, and people often associate him with being involved in some of the nasty stuff. Ricey was a damn good defender as well to back it up, as was Conor Gormley and the rest of that Tyrone backline, as they proved going on to win 3 All Ireland. But I look upon those days quite fondly now, and I think there's as much of that stuff going on now as there was back then. It's probably all part and parcel of the game.
It's incredible, really, to hear you talk like that, Alan, because normally you get clearly a regret as a part of that, but it seems like I would use the expression sort of made your peace with it, but by the sounds of things, clearly the All-Irelands makes everything feel a little bit better, but it sounds like as if you didn't, there wasn't actually a huge process there of sort of, you made your peace pretty easily with it.
Look, don't get me wrong, we were devastated after losing those matches, but I think we probably realised after that maybe Tyrone were just a better side on the day. I think the one, if I was to take one regret, was probably the Mayo loss when we went 7-up in 2006, I think it was. That was the one in Ireland semi-final. We would have been in the final 7-up with 20 to go. That's the one. If I was to pick one game out of those games that we lost, that was probably the one. And who knows, if we'd have managed to get over that game and got to an All-Ireland final, even if we hadn't won that final, at least it would have been that monkey off the back, and we may have reached one sooner than 2011. But I suppose winning the All-Ireland towards the end and kind of the way it ended up for me, when I look at my career as a whole, I can only be very happy and very privileged with what I achieved and the teams I managed to play on.
It wasn't too bad, to be fair. Where does the moving on from that team or that era, I suppose, where does the mental hardness of the current group come from? Like, you were obviously part of that team for 3 years under Jim. Is that something that's spoken about openly, that's worked on openly, or does that just come from, in giant inverted commas, the process?
Yeah, well, we won't talk too much about the process, but people will be laughing at us. But that's what it is. Like, these guys just take each game at a time, take each year as it comes, and you can be sure there's no one talking about, there's a bit of 5 in a row talk, there's no one in the Dublin dressing room thinking about 5 in a row, that's for sure. And look, I suppose there's a lot of experienced guys in that team as well, and kind of winning like that just breeds confidence. And I suppose this Dublin team, like a lot of the fellas, like, look at Brian Fenton, hasn't even lost a championship match yet, so there's the confidence stands for a lot. And when you manage to win in All-Ireland, all of a sudden you grow a couple of foot taller and you know you can do this, whereas when you're trying like we were in 05 and 06 and 07 and you're not quite getting there, you're just in the back of your mind, you might be starting to doubt yourself a little bit. But I think sports people by their nature are very, very resilient. And when the next game comes or the next year comes, you go back at it as hard as you can again, and kind of hope to get over the line eventually. And that's all you can do. There's no magic wand you can wave. You just got to train as hard as you can and try and prepare as best you can. And we're lucky enough when Paddy Lloyd came in, he added a bit of impetus to it, and then Jim Gavin has come in since and added another level to it. I think this, like, in terms of preparation, the Dublin team has probably never been better prepared, because being involved in the gym, I know him and his management team leave no stone unturned in looking for the next little bit of information or the next little tactic that might help them get over the line the next day.
Yeah, like, bizarrely, almost in terms of that confidence thing, it doesn't feel as if, like, if Dublin were to lose at the weekend, in the unlikely event that Dublin were to lose at the weekend, it doesn't feel as if, like, I think they'd be installed straight again as favourites for 2019. It's almost like, even Mickey Hart said it after the semi-final, like, Dublin have to have an off day for Tyrone to get at this. Like, that's the level of, like, confidence or dominance that we're talking about from this Dublin group.
Yeah, well, look, any competition in one game, you're always vulnerable. If Tyrone get a good start, get their tails up a little bit, like, they are a difficult team to play against if they get a lead. And we saw Dublin the last day go four down against Galway, and they managed to claw it back. Like, if Galway had scored that penalty, it would have been interesting to see how Dublin react. So, whereas last year, Conn got the goal in the first couple of minutes, and then Tyrone were kind of in their rigid structure, and they never even really chased the game. The game just drifted away from them. So, like, a lot could depend on how the first 15-20 minutes go on Sunday into how this game pans out. And if Tyrone can get a good start, maybe get a couple of scores ahead, get a little bit of confidence going, who knows what might happen. But, like I said, with it's one game on any given day, and if Dublin have a bad day or Tyrone have a good day, who knows what might happen. So Dublin certainly have to guard against that. But look, I don't think, like, we saw up in Omagh, there's not a huge gulf between the teams. Like, this, like, the Dublin team obviously are big favourites because they've won three All-Irelands in a row, but this Tyrone team, they have been coming for a few years, and they have some experienced footballers, like, with the likes of Tiernan McCann, Peter Hart, Matty Donnelly, Niall Sludden, Colm Cavanagh. Like, they're some of the best footballers in the country, so I don't think there'll be any complacency whatsoever setting into the Dublin camp.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned earlier on about a close game or a competitive game would be good for football. I think a lot of people feel that Tyrone winning would almost be the only thing that would be good for football at this stage, given the run. But regardless almost of what happens on Sunday, Alan, like, Jim Gavin's accumulation of trophies has been, like, an incredible thing, and we've sort of skirted around it a small bit, and that it looks as if that will continue to be the case. It's the end of a sixth term now, and with the group that's in it at the minute, it doesn't seem, certainly on the face of it, like there's any reason to get out of that. How long do you think that he'll continue as Dublin manager?
Look, it's difficult to say. Jim's his own man, and, like, he owes Dublin football nothing at this stage. If he decided he wanted to walk after next Sunday, then he's done a great job for us. And yeah, look, Jim obviously has a job with the Irish Aviation Authority. I'm sure he has his goals and ambitions in his work career as well, and obviously manage Dublin. He's a young family, takes up a huge amount of time. So, look, I think if they win on Sunday and they start to look at five in a row, I think he'd surely hang around for that. But look, after that, who knows? It's nearly itself. I don't think, like, if you look at what Mickey Hart's doing now, it's just phenomenal how long he's been in charge. And, like, I can't see in charge of Tyrone, I can't see anyone else kind of repeating that. I couldn't see Jim staying for 20 years, but who knows? He's his own man. He'll make his own decision on it. And I'm sure he's welcome to stay for as long as he wants.
Yeah, they might knock 15 out of him. Just a last word. We've also mentioned the game in Omagh, obviously the league match, and the impact that might have on Sunday and the closeness of it. And I suppose it was an indicator at that stage to the quality of that Tyrone team, who I think on the day were without Colm Cavanagh, who potentially could have been that grain of rice that might have tipped the scales. How much of an insight, if any, will we get from that game that day, Alan, in terms of what might unfold on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I think it certainly makes us see that the teams are probably quite closely matched. Maybe if Dublin have an edge, it's maybe they have a little bit more scoring power up front, but those teams are very closely matched. I think that day up in Omagh was obviously it was a different game for Dublin. The pitch was narrowed a little bit, whether it was Mickey or whether it was Sky Sport, it doesn't really matter. But I actually think the wide open spaces of Croke Park will suit Tyrone if they come out and try and play football like they have. They have the pacey footballers that are suited to Croke Park, similar to Dublin, and I could expect, look, if the teams want to play, if both teams want to kick pass, we might be in for a bit of a treat. But I think if it gets very cagey and both teams have a lot of men behind the ball, it could be a frustrating afternoon for fans. But I don't think either team will be that worried about it. But like they said, it's probably hard looking in from the outside for anyone to see beyond a Dublin victory, and I'd probably go for Dublin by 3 or 4 points.
All right. Well, I think I don't know what the spread is, but I presume it's that and maybe a little bit more. Alan, pleasure catching up with you as always. Thanks a million for the chat.
Thanks, Adrian.
That's Alan Brogan there chatting to us, previewing Sunday's game, and all, of course, in association with the Family Sport Fest. You can check out all the full details, nationalsportcampus.ie/FamilySportFest.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.